Okay. We're ready to go.
Ramana 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 Ramana
says that she might. His divine grace. Abaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Jai. Isnan Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Jai. Anandakoti Voishna Vrind Jai. Namacharya Srila Vidas Thakur Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha. Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakti. Nigidai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Madhavai Kijai Srimati Dalasi Devi Kijai Sambhavita Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swabhat Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurani Pujari Divishesha Shunyavari Prashachate Shatarni. So before we begin class, I'd like to ask all the devotees to pray for one of my dear god sisters who is actually quite sick with COVID right now, Prafula, and pray that she can recover very, very soon. And this world is really sad. We're losing people all the time from this material world. It's really bad. Like one of my dear godbrothers, Madhusudana, he left this world, I think this morning or something like that. So, of course, we don't have to pray for him because he's a great devotee. When a great, great, great devotee leaves this world, you pray for his association and you pray in feeling separation from him. Like when we go to Prabhupada's disappearance day or any great devotee's disappearance day, we don't actually pray for them, we pray for ourselves, because we are missing their association. Okay, so we have that devotee to pray for her health. She's actually a very good devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and endured so many austerities. So many of us, God brothers, God sisters, have been through, basically, we've been through a lot together through the wars, the Krishna conscious wars. So it's like an army senior fellow soldiers get sick and some of them pass away. So Madhusudana was very dedicated to Prabhupada's book distribution. So anyway, so let's go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om Ganata Gananda Shah. Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Niditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my divine spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torch light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, let's go. Share the screen. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we are starting with text 111. Let's mark this in my notes. 111. Of course, it's chapter 24, which is entitled the 61 different meanings of the Atmarama verse described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami in Benares. So we're talking about Brahman realization, at least yesterday we were. Let's go on to the next verse. Bhaktadeha pailavaya kunerasmarana guna krishta hanakare nirmala bhajana. When one gets a devotee's spiritual body, he can remember the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Simply by being attracted to Krishna's transcendental qualities, one becomes a pure devotee engaged in his service. Of course, we are our spiritual body. So, really, technically, we don't get a spiritual body. We are our spiritual body. The spiritual body is covered right now. What is it covered by? Our material desires and lust and anger and greed and all those other nice, wonderful things. Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur is given the following summary of the verses 107 to 111. Transcendentalists on the path of philosophical speculation can be divided into two categories. The pure worshippers of impersonal Brahman, you, as I described yesterday, that's hell, and those who wish to merge into the existence of the impersonal Brahman, both of them like hell. When one is fully absorbed in the thought that one is not different from the Supreme Absolute Truth, one is said to be a worshipper of the impersonal Brahman. The impersonal worshippers of Brahman can again be divided into three categories. One, sadhakas, those who are nearing perfect execution of the process of Brahman realization. Two, those who are fully absorbed in meditation of Brahman. And three, those who are on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, Bhagavatam 4.30.20, and have no relationship with material existence. Even though the worshipper of the impersonal Brahman can be highly advanced, he cannot attain liberation without discharging devotional service. Anyone who has realized himself as spirit soul can engage in devotional service. This is the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, verse 18:54. Very important verse. Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasoshishina kankshati samaksarveshu bhuteshu mahabhakti mlavate param. One who is thus transcendently situated and once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful, he never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. So just a little story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when Madhavendra Puri was leaving this world, one of his disciples, who was, let's say, fallen, began to quote this verse to him, Brahmabhuta Prasanama Nishashashina Kankshati. Why did he to quote this verse to him? Because Madhavendra Puri was exhibiting lamentation. Now, normally, if someone's lamenting or hankering, Sochati Kankshati, that means they're in Maya. Like if I'm lamenting, oh, I lost this. I lost my best dhoti or something. Or I desire. Actually, today I was thinking I need nicer dhotis. These things look like tissue paper. Anyway, so I was desiring that. So anyway, so I was lamenting and I was desiring. And lamenting that my dhoti had a little holes in it and desiring to have nice dhotis. So anyways, of course that's related to Krishna, it's all right. So someone is lamenting and desiring their Maya. But Madhavendra Puri, he was lamenting and desiring to be with Krishna. What was he lamenting? He was lamenting, I have not reached Mathura, I have not reached the lotus feet of Krishna. Of course he had, but that was his vast humility. And so because he was lamenting like that, spiritually, which is not a material quality, it's actually the same things that can be used for material stuff, advancement, Maya, can be used in Krishna's service. Just like Prabhupada said, one can actually want money to use in Krishna's service. They can build temples, distribute books, and do so many things like that. But he was lamenting that he wasn't with Krishna. And his puffed-up disciple, Ramchandra Puri, started to quote this verse to his guru and said, actually, basically, for all intents and purposes, he was telling his guru the guru was in Maya. Madhavendra Puri was in Maya. Not Yoga Maya, but Maha Maya, the Maya that all of us are in this world. So Madhavendra Puri seen that his disciple was fallen, his disciple was actually in a Mayavadi consciousness. That's why I'm telling this story, because Mayavadi consciousness means that you don't consider that emotions or anything can be spiritual. Everything is Maya. Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya. That's one of their favorite quotes. That Brahman is the truth. This world is illusional, bayad. But we understand that Yukta Vairagya, Prapancha Kataya, Pujya, Harisa Mandavashna, Moksha Vipura Chagi, Vauragya, Vagu, Kachyate, that if one renounces things, not seeing their connection with Krishna, then that is illusion. That is material illusion. And one, Yukta Vairagya Uchyate, if one sees how to use things in Krishna's service, then that's all right. So anyway, that's not illusion, that's spirituality. So anyway, so this devotee, or can I call him a devotee? Anyway, I guess I can. But a devotee who is mixed with desire for Brahman realization was actually advising his guru. The guru said, get the hell out of here. I don't want to ever see your face again. And that's what happens when one's absorbed in Brahman. One thinks that all lamentation, all desires, all emotions, they're all Maya. But there are material emotions that are Maya. You know, if you're hankering for anything, that's Maya. Illusion. Anyway, but use it in Krishna's service at least. Actually, one can dovetail. That's another point. One can dovetail their material hankerings in Krishna's service, so it's not all a waste of time. Let's say, you know, I want a nice dhoti so I can look nice to serve Krishna. So, hopefully, the people who are taking care of my clothes are not listening right now. So, to attain the platform of pure devotional service, one has to become spiritually pure and attain the Brahma Buddha platform, which is beyond material anxiety and material... beyond material anxiety and material discrimination. When one approaches pure devotional service after realizing Brahman, one becomes attracted by pure devotional service. One approaches... At such a time, by rendering devotional service, one gets a spiritual body with purified senses. So there's another important verse, Rupa Goswami's verse actually. Sarva Padi Vinayana Muktam Tattva Tvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakta Ruchate. So this is Sarva Padi. When one becomes free, well, Sarva means all. Let's translate this. Sarva means all. Upadi means designations. False designations, like this body is mine, or I am an American, or I am white, or I am black, or now as they say, I am of color or not of color. Vinir muktam, when one becomes free of those, muktam, mukti, tatpara tvena nirmalam, one becomes pure. And then one will serve Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. One will serve the proprietor of the senses, who is Rishikesha, and that is known as bhakti. When one's senses are pure, that's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita 19.170, and it's also Rupa Goswami's writings. Sit in the nectar of devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When one's senses are pure, one can render loving service, devotional service to Krishna. A pure devotee can only remember Krishna's transcendental qualities. Remembering them, he fully engages in the loving service of the Lord. So, muktapi dilya vigraham kritva bhagavatam Bhagavantam Bhajante. Even a liberated soul merged in the impersonal Brahman effulgence is attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. He thus installs a deity and renders the Lord's service. Highly elevated Mayavadi sannyasis sometimes worship the Radhakrishna deity and discuss the pastimes of the Lord, but their purpose is not elevation to Goloka Vrindavan. They want to merge into the Lord's effulgence. This statement is quoted from Shankaracharya's commentary on the Upanishad, known as the Narsingha-Tapani Upanishad. So in other words, they use the worship of Krishna as a stepping stone. And also they use the worship or the service to the guru as a stepping stone. They probably describe they would step on the guru's head. Can you imagine that, putting their foot on the guru's head? Because they're simply self-centered, self-interested in their own liberation. And so their worship of Radha and Krishna is called Jnana Mishra Bhakti, the desire for liberation, because they think liberation is superior to love of Krishna. But we understand love of Krishna is superior to everything. And mere liberation without love of Krishna, without service to Krishna, is hell. Because there's no, remember we talked about this? There's no action, no relationships. Because happiness comes from relationships. That's why when you buy things, they don't give you happiness, those things. That's why in Christmas, when you open up all your presents, yeah, there's a brief moment when you think that you're happy, and after that, you become miserable again. Or, like ladies, they like to shop. You know, they go car shopping, or they go clothes shopping. They think it's going to give them happiness. Just like today, I took a walk near the campus in the main street, and the largest building, the largest store of all the buildings, very expensive area, was dedicated to ladies' nails. Because the ladies are thinking, you know, if I have these nice nails, they will make me happy. Terrible. My Maya is so strong. Anyway, decoration of a dead body. It's like everybody's a mortician. Think about it. You know what a mortician is? A mortician is one who takes the body after someone has died and decorates it, and fluffs it up, puts some makeup on. And so then you look at the person in the coffin and you think, wow, looks like he's ready just to step out of there and start dancing again. So that's a mortician's business. It comes from the word mort, which means death, a person of death. So when we think that the perfection of life is to decorate this body, then we're no better than morticians. In fact, morticians, at least, are honest about their activity. So, on that happy note, Janma Haite Shuka Sanakari Rama Maya Krishna Guna Krishna Hana Krishnere Vajaya. Although Shukadev Goswami and the four Kumaras were always absorbed in the thought of impersonal Brahman, who were thus Brahmavadis, they were nonetheless attracted by the transcendental pastimes and qualities of Krishna, therefore they later became devotees of Krishna. Now, actually, I just have to be really specific. There's a difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. Brahmavadis are those who are just interested in Brahman and being Brahman, and they honestly say they don't know any better than that. Whereas Mayavadis, they actually criticize, that's why they're called Mayavadis, they criticize the Lord and the Lord's pastimes and the Lord's qualities and the Lord's devotees as all being illusion. Shanaka Jera Krishna Kripaya Sarave Hare Mana Guna Krishna Harakare Nirmala Bhajana. The minds of the four Kumaras were attracted by the aroma of the flowers offered to Krishna's lotus feet. Being attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna, they engage in pure devotional service. We talked about this before. Tashara Vinda Nayanasya Padara Findao Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayohu Antargatasva Vivarena Chakaratesham. Oh, the volume. Okay, let me finish this. Shangshova Makshara Jusham Apichitta Tanvaho. Let me just check the volume again. Sometimes this audio settings get reset. Turn up a little bit. and the translation of this is, it's a Bhagavatam verse, when the breeze carrying the aroma of the tulasi leaves the saffron from the lotus feet of the low, oh, someone else says good. Can't please everybody all the time. You please some of the people some of the time, and all the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. When the breeze carrying the aroma of the tulasi leaves the saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus eye, its personality of God, it entered through the nostrils into the hearts of those sages, the Kumaras. They experienced the change of both body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-43. Of course, that's the four Kumaras were going to see Lord Narayan in heaven, and as soon as they went through the six of the pearly gates in heaven, they came to the seventh gate, and the seventh gate was guarded by Jaya and Vijaya, and they were stopped, and Lord Narayan came out, Lord Vishnu came out, and they saw him, and they smelled the aroma of the tulsi leaves and the flowers over his lotus feet, and they became devotees. Immediately, previously, they were Brahma bodies, means absorbed in Brahman, and didn't know any better, but didn't criticize Krishna either. They criticized Krishna as being Maya, they would have been mind bodies. And because they didn't criticize Krishna, they were simply Brahma bodies. Vyasa kripaya shukadevera lilat hismarana Krishna guna krishna hana karena bhajana. By the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord Krishna. Being thus attracted by Krishna's transcendental qualities, he also became a devotee engaged in service. We talked about this before. That Vyasadeva was Shukadeva Goswami's father. Shukadeva Goswami didn't want to come out of his mother's womb for a few years, a big, long pregnancy. But when he heard about Krishna's pastimes, he had a reason to come out. The reason he didn't come out was because he thought it was going to be Maya. When you come out, yeah, there's a lot of Maya things when you come out of your mother's womb. What I mean? What do I mean by Maya things? That your mother picks you up and says, how cute that little bundle of joy is. That little body, bundle of joy. And the mother and father think it's so cute, and they treat you so nicely like a king. To again be a child means to be treated like a king, and that's why Krishna has a child with pastimes with Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. Hare Ragunath Shipa Shipta Matir Bhagavan Badarayana Ghi Ajagan Mahadnakyanam Nicham Vishnu Janapriyaha. Being very much attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, the mind of Srila Shukadeva Goswami was agitated by Krishna consciousness. He therefore began to study Srimad Bhagavatam by the grace of his father. There's an earlier verse in the same chapter that says the same thing. It's a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.11. Nava Yogishvara Janmahite Sadaka Gini Vidishiva Naramukhe Krishna Guna Shuni. From their very birth, the nine great mystic yogis, Yogendras, they were the sons of Lord Rishabhadev, were impersonal philosophers of the absolute truth, but because they heard about Lord Krishna's qualities from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the great sage Narada, they also became Krishna's devotees. So the point is, why do some become Krishna's devotees? Why do some not become Krishna's devotees? Those who do not become Krishna's devotees are offensive. They've actually heard offenses. Actually, if you hear the Mayavadi philosophy and you take an understanding of the Mayavadi philosophy, you lose your understanding or ability to understand Vaishnavism. There's this statement by many of the acharyas that if you hear the Sari Rakya Bhasha. What is the Sari Rakya Bhasha? It's Shankaracharya's commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Then you will lose your devotion. Whew. Wow. So therefore you should stay away from it. Stay away from it. Guna Krishna Hana Kare Krishna Vajana Karasha Skande Tanra Bhakti Vivarana. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a full description of the devotional service of the nine Yogendras who rendered devotional service because they were attracted by the Lord's transcendental qualities. Akhesham kamala bhuva parvesha goshtim kurvanta shruti shirasam Shutim Shutagiha Utungam Yadupura Sangamaya Rangam Yogendra Pulaka Britto Tapapyuva Puhu. The nine Yogendras entered Lord Brahma's association and heard from him the real meaning of the topmost Vedic literatures, the Upanishads. Although the Yogendras were already conversant in Vedic knowledge, they became very jubilant in Krishna consciousness just by listening to Brahma. Thus they wanted to enter Dwarka, the abode of Lord Krishna. In this way, they finally achieved the place known as Ranga Kshetra. This is a quotation from the Maha Upanishad. So, of course, Navayogendras, as I said before, the sons of Lord Rishabhadev, who had 100 sons. The head of all the sons was Bharat Maharaj, after whom India is named. India is Bharat Tavarsha. That's the right name for India, the subcontinent of India. Mukshal Kangshi Yani Hayatina Prakara Mumuksha Jivan Mukta Prapta Swarupa Hara. Those who wish to merge into the impersonal Brahman are also divided into three categories: those who desire to be liberated, those who are already liberated, and those who have realized Brahman. A lot of this is repetitive, but so we'll understand and remember. Mumukshu jagatayana ekasam sari jnana mukti lagi bhakje kari krishnara banjana. There are many people within the material world who desire liberation. For this purpose, they render devotional service to Lord Krishna. Mumukshu bhagora rupam hitva bhuta patim mataha narayana kalakshanta vajanti yana suyabaha. Those who want to be relieved from the material clutches give up the worship of the various demigods who have fearful bodily features. Yeah. Such peaceful devotees who are not envious of the demigods worship the different forms of the Supreme Personality of God. They don't criticize the demigods. They just don't waste time. So this is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.26. Those who actually want the highest perfection worship Lord Vishnu in his different incarnations. Those who are attracted to the materialistic way of life and are always agitated and full of anxiety worship demigods who appear fierce. Demigods like goddess Kali and Kala, Vairava, Rudra. The devotees of Krishna, however, do not envy the demigods or their worshippers, but peacefully render devotional service to the incarnations of Narayana instead. Huh. I don't know how that happened. So text 124. Sesavera sadhu sanghe gunaspuraya Krishna bhajana karyaya muksha chadaya. If those who are attached to demigod worship fortunately associate with the devotees, their dormant devotional service and appreciation of the Lord's qualities gradually awaken. In this way, they also engage in Krishna's devotional service and give up their desire for liberation and their desire to merge into the existence of the impersonal Brahman. So that's the four Kumaras, Shukadeva Goswami, and the Navi Yogendras. The four Kumaras, Chatushana, Shukadeva Goswami, and the nine Yogendras were absorbed into Brahman realization, and how they became devotees is described herein. There are three kinds of impersonalists: the mumukshu, those desiring liberation; the jivanmuktas, those liberated in this life; and the prapti swarupas, those merged in Brahman realization. That's repetitive what we heard before. All three types of gyanis are called moksha kankshis, those desiring liberation. By associating with devotees, such people give up the mumukshu principle and render devotional service. The real cause for this change is the association of devotees. The Krishna conscious movement is meant to attract all types of men, even those who desire things other than the Lord's devotional service. Through the association of devotees, they gradually begin to render devotional service. Self-explanatory. Aho mahat man bahudoshakrutushto kikhela bat yesha bhavo gunena satsangamakyena Kavahina Kutadyano Yena Prashamamuksha. O great learned devotee, although there are many faults in this material world, there's one good opportunity. Sorry. The association with devotees. Such association brings about great happiness due to this good quality. Our strong desire to achieve liberation by merging into the Brahman effulgence has become weakened. This is a quotation from the Hari Bhakti Shudol Daya. In other words, a moment's association. I'll tell the story, yeah. Here's a story from the Jiva Dharma. Jiva Dharma is a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a wonderful book that illustrates all the aspects of our philosophy in story form. Really interesting story. So once upon a time, there was this sannyasi who was absorbed in Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. And he was on the Brahma-Buddha platform. He had achieved liberation in Brahman. He was sitting, chanting, meditating, feeling very peaceful. Om Shanti, 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 very peaceful. Om. So, and as he was feeling very peaceful, not exactly ecstatic, just peaceful, because he was relieved of the material miseries. He was very expert in the Vedic literatures. And relieved of all material miseries. That's the happiness one gets from Brahman. It's not a positive happiness. It's the negation of all the miseries, you know. Just like we have miseries, as we've described before, from the body and mind, other living entities, material nature. And so he was relieved. Wow, it's such a relief. It's like the relief one gets from eating, the relief one gets from breathing, the relief one gets after one's been sick and one gets better. You know, that's the type of relief, not positive happiness. So anyway, positive happiness is relationships, as we said before. So anyway, so he was sitting there meditating. I think it was Benares. Or Varanasi, yeah, Benares. He was meditating, and along comes a devotee doing Harinam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And he hears, and he gets the bhakti lata bija in his heart, and all of a sudden he starts to feel happiness. What's happening to me? I'm absorbed in Brahman. Why am I happy? Is this maya? And he starts to feel, ooh, ooh, the stirrings in his heart, and he leaves his absorption in Brahman and doesn't talk to the devotee. I mean, but he gets shy or something. But that attraction leads him to go all the way to Sridhar Mayapur and Pajuna Kunja, it's described. He goes there and meets his guru, and he becomes a great devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and uses all of his Mayavadi knowledge to make others devotees and to defeat impersonalists and materialists too. Nice stories in the first part of the Jiva Dharma by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Amazing, amazing story. Highly recommend that book. Naradara Sange Shunakari Munikana Umuksha Charya Kaila Krishnera Vajana. By associating with the great saint Narada, Shanaka and the other sages gave up their desire for liberation and engaged in Krishna's devotional service. Krishna Darshane Karo Krishna Kripaya Umuksha Charya Gune Bhajikandra Paya. Simply by meeting Krishna or receiving Krishna's special favor, one can give up the desire for liberation. I give it up. Being attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna, one can engage in his service. Asmin sukagana murtau paramatmani vrishni patane spurati atma ramatyame ritakato vatachiram kalaha. In this Dwarka Dham, I am being attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is personified spiritual bliss. Simply by seeing him, I am feeling great happiness. Oh, I have wasted so much time trying to become self-realized through a personal cultivation. This is a cause for lamentation. So that's spiritual lamentation. I've wasted so much time. I mean, sometimes I think like that. You know, when you sleep at night, oh, what did I do? I was sleeping at night. I wasted so much time. people can think like I wasted so much time when I could have been glorifying Krishna, bringing people to Krishna consciousness. This is the verse found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.134. Jivan mukta aneka sedvi beda jani pache jivan mukta yane jivan muktam pani. There are many people who are liberated even in this lifetime. Some are liberated by discharging devotional service, and others are liberated through the philosophical speculative process. So through the philosophical speculative process, you get Brahman. But devotional service, you get Krishna. Vakje jivan mukta guna krishna hana krishna bhaje shuksha gyane jivan mukta aparade ado bhaje. Those who are liberated by devotional service become more and more attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Thus they engage in his service. Those who are liberated by the speculative process eventually fall down again due to offensive activity, offenses against Krishna. That's interesting. They fall down when they're liberated. Because they're considering Krishna's pastimes to be mundane. So unless they take up devotional service, they will fall down because it's not the natural constitutional position of the living entity. Constitution, this is Siddhanta Prabhu's. The constitution of the living entity is Jivara Swarupa Hoy Nitya Krishna's, an eternal servant of Krishna. Who is Krishna? If you don't know, you don't belong listening to this class. So here's the verse. Actually, here's the verse I often quote. Ye ne rabin jaksha bhigupta manina twayasta bhavada vashuda buddhya avivikachena param padaptata patanjado nadratat yusma dangveha. Important verse from the bottom of the tongue. A lotus-eyed one, those who think they are liberated in this life but are without devotional service to you are of impure intelligence. Although they accept severe austerities and penances and rise to the spiritual position, to impersonal Brahman realization, they fall down again because they neglect to worship your lotus feet. And a famous, famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 32. Here's another verse. This verse has appeared before many times in this chapter, from the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhutta Prasannam Sarjatim Kangstin Samaksupra Sarvesha Bhuteshim Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendently situated once realizes the Supreme Brahman becomes joyful and never laments or desires to have anything, is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. This is a quotation from Bhagavad Gita 1854. And that's a repeat, but just a few minutes ago, we actually read that same verse. Advaita viti patikaru pasya swadanna singasana labda dikshaha shatena kanapi vayam hatena dasi vritakopa paduvitena. Although I was worshipped by those on the path of monism, in other words, I was a great great impersonalist, and initiated into self-realization through this yoga system, I have nonetheless been forcibly turned into a maidservant by some cunning boy who is always joking with the gopi. Sounds like Bilba Mangal Thakur. Yes, I was right. This is a verse written by Bilba Mangal Thakur. Bhakti vale prapta swarupa divya deha paya Krishna guran krishna hana vaje Krishna paya. One who has attained his constitutional position by the strength of devotional service attains a transcendental body even in this lifetime. Being attracted by Lord Krishna's transcendental qualities, he fully engages in service at his lotus feet. So even in this lifetime, you can realize your transcendental body and you can transcendentalize your present body. It's not that your present body becomes eternal, but it becomes purified, established in Shuddha-sattva, even though it's temporary. It's not your eternal body. Remember that. That's very important. But it becomes spiritualized, and because it's spiritualized, the example probably uses all the time, like an iron rod is iron, but if you put it into fire, it acts exactly like fire after some time when it becomes white hot, red hot, and then white hot. Nirodha shanu shayanam atmana saha shaktive muktir hivhanyata rupam sarupena vyavastatihi. The living entities and other potencies merge into Mahavishnu as the Lord lies down and winds up, destroys the cosmic manifestation. Liberation means being situated in one's eternal original form after giving up the changeable, gross and subtle bodies. The quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2:10:6. So liberation means to actually realize who you are and not identify with this gross or subtle body, even though you may still have the gross and subtle body. It's called jiva mukta, but you're still having it, but you're not identifying with it anymore. Still using it to serve Krishna. Krishna bahir mukha doshe maya haita maya Krishna mukha bhakti haite maya mukta haya. By opposing Krishna consciousness, one becomes conditioned and fearful due to the influence of maya. By executing devotional service faithfully, one is liberated from maya. That's pretty easy. Krishna surya samaya haya andhakar. Krishna is the sun. Maya is the darkness. The forgetfulness of Krishna is the absence of Krishna. When you're Krishna conscious, you can't be forgetful of Krishna. In other words, where there's sun, where there's light of the sun, there can't be darkness. And where there's darkness, there can't be the light of the sun. So darkness is simply the absence of the light of the sun. We've described this before. Ooh, this is a very important verse. Actually, we should wait till tomorrow. This next verse is verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we did 111 to 136 today. Chapter 24. Okay. Alrighty. So now we will allow all of you lucky souls to ask some questions if I unmute you. So if you have a question, just type it in chat window or raise your hand. Okay, Rakesh, you have a question. What's your question?
Guru Maharaj, yesterday you talked about personal Brahman or spiritual
impersonal Brahman.
What is that?
That's the effulgence of Krishna. Have you ever seen a picture of Krishna? Or ever seen Krishna directly? Krishna has this halo around him. Effulgence, and that effulgence is composed of jiva souls like you and me, who decided they wanted to merge into that impersonal Brahman. The impersonal Brahman ultimately is not impersonal. It's an impersonal realization. That's why the word impersonal is used. The impersonal Brahman is composed of individual persons who are in a state of suspended animation. In other words, there's no feelings, there's no desires, there's no consciousness, there's simply floating up there around the transcendental body of Krishna. And that's what the impersonal Brahman is. And those who go there, it's described, and we've talked about this before, it's like hell. And those who go there, after a while, they fall down again because they can't be satisfied in an unnatural situation. Just like if you're in an unnatural situation, let's say, sometimes the example is what goes up must come down, but that's not always true. Let's say, I actually probably use the example about the Russian cosmonauts. The Russian cosmonauts were up in the, in their little cosmonaut vehicle capsules. And Prabhupada described how they were always looking down upon Russia. And they're thinking, my Russia. So in other words, they were not satisfied there. They had to come down to enjoy. You can't enjoy it being a, even though you're in space and it looks pretty nice outside, but ultimately you have to come down because it's not your natural position. ultimately you come down to the earth planet. And that's what the impersonal Brahman is. Not exactly, you can't see anything from the impersonal Brahman. It's not that you're looking up there and down to the earth. Boy, it'd be sure nice to be back there. But you're feeling a lack, I think, of a kuna is the technical word. You're feeling a lack of, not a lack in terms of 100,000, but you're feeling a lack of relationships, a lack of sensory experience, a lack of personhood. And so, Aruyika Jaina Param Padam, which is the verse we just quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you come down again. And usually you come down in the mode of goodness and then you engage in some material activities. Okay, so next question. Who else wants to ask a question?
Oh, Guru, so, Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, Gaura Hari, it's good to hear from you in Nicaragua.
Please accept my obeisances.
Jai, oh, Gaura Prabhupada. So, what's happening? So,
I have a question. You mentioned something about the service, and it says, I think it was in verse 135 or 130, maybe, I'm not sure. But you said something about the service, and you mentioned something that really, really sort of like cracked my brains, you know, like interesting. And that was basically the type of service that people offer, even without the proper desires, the proper approach, you know, and even that has to be accepted, you know. Could you please, Maharaj, expand a little bit on that?
Well,
there was,
I think you're referring to a particular quote from the Bhagavatam where it says, Akama, Sarvakama, Moksha Kama, Dharadi, Tivrena Bhakti, Yogena, Yajeta, Purusham, Param. That whatever, there's several things, whatever one's motivation is, if one is focused on Krishna's holy name and renders service, then one will actually eventually get purified. That's one thing. Another thing I mentioned about service is that sometimes, and that's from a verse that was quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that some Mayavadis, they will do service or worship Krishna for the ulterior motive of merging into the Brahman effulgence. So those are the two aspects or times that I actually mentioned service. All right?
Okay, thank you, Maharaj.
How is the preaching going in Nicaragua?
Well, we have some difficulties, you know, because there's always some political situation, you know, with the Sandinista government, you know. And there have been some frictions that's causing a lot of unemployment, you know, several social problems, and that, you know, maybe contributing to the fact that it's a small community here in Nicaragua, you know, not much resources.
Yeah, not very rich.
I beg your pardon?
Not very rich. The country is not very rich.
No, not very rich. You know, that's, you know, the banana republics, you know. It's at the center of the Americas, you know, sort of like the navel of the Americas, kind of. So, yeah, it's a very, very small country, so we have some difficulties. Culture.
Your family's doing well there?
Oh, yes, most definitely, yes. You know, yes, I know. And I appreciate all the mercy that you have given me, you know. Yeah, I come from a long way, you know. I've been there, been around, so. And I appreciate the mercy.
And I appreciate your determination to continue Krishna consciousness in such a difficult circumstance.
Well, yeah. I guess that's the only shelter I have. I have not many options. not very many options here, you know.
Yeah, Krishna's really saved you.
Oh yes, all right. Definitely.
It's good. Maybe one day I'll visit Nicaragua.
Yes, I'll pray that maybe we can have your presence here in Nicaragua, and this would be a sort of like a pilgrimage place for me again in my own country. You know, could go to and remember that you were here. You know, if you come,
that would be
so nice. I'll appreciate that. Yeah, I hope you come. I'll pray.
Well, all right. Well, anyway, speak to you later. So one other question here from Padam Raj Joshi.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances on your lotus feet.
So you have a question?
Yes. Yesterday we were doing the Harinam in Chapelle Street in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And one of the guy was very aggressive. He drive wrong way and just come across us.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then he was very aggressive, and he said, okay, you know, too many people here, because it's Saturday, yesterday, there are too many people there, and then that's our motives to go there for the Harinam. And then he come and he say, oh, you spoiling the environment because you're doing the Harinam. This is like, you know, the music, or you singing, you dancing, the people are getting troubled. And I say, no, we're just following our spiritual master. We're following our guru. And what they say, we're just following. And he say, I belongs to a Hindu family as well. And I say, okay, what's your Hinduism say? Okay. And then say, he was like, keep going and that sort of things. And I saw the self-realization from the Prabhupada. And I say, do you know this person? I saw the photos. And he say, I don't know. And I say, you say you're from India, and he born in India, and in 6-7 years of time, he built the 108 temples around the world, only for this Harinam purposes, and he's a spiritual master, all right? And I say, he was keep discussing, and I say, I thought you are a lack of knowledge. I give you this self-realization book, better you read it, and you... Any doubt, you come to the Melbourne, you can see me in the Melbourne temple, or you can ask, or anyone can clarify about this. And then he was very destructive, and then very offensive. Like, if that sort of situation, how we can handle that?
I think it's better to walk away. When you see that someone's offensive, then we don't try to preach to him. We just stay away from him.
Okay. All right,
in the future, if you see someone is just like angry and offensive, and unless you happen to be Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, it's better you just walk away and say, okay, thank you.
Okay, Maharaj.
All right.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. We'll see you soon. All right, so I got to go right now. So thank you all for joining us. We'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.